Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, everybody. Let's talk about more eggs.
Yeah.
Because
eggs, baby.
Let's talk about you and me.
It's the 12 eggs of Easter, ladies and gentlemen. Sponsored by Bet365.
We're almost at the end.
Mm. We're in double figures now.
Yeah.
Mm. One of which looks a bit like an egg.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, absolutely.
You cannot deny.
An egg and a soldier.
Egg and a soldier.
Yeah.
Today, we've got a goalkeeping egg.
We have.
Fabian Barthez!
Oh. Crazy egg as well, by the
way.
Absolutely.
Nicknamed the Divine Bald One.
Was he really?
Yes.
Yeah. Love that.
This is the advantage, you see, of bald men, is if they go bald when they're younger, there's no surprise when later life when they've not got much hair.
Yeah. Well, nice. Bald is a choice, isn't it?
It can
be. In a lot
be.
Of cases.
Can
well, if you make that choice, that's what I mean.
Mm. Yeah. True enough, yeah. Wonderful. I mean, this is a bald head that we saw get kissed quite regularly by Laurent Blanc.
That's the first thing I put in my notes in preparation. Mm. Head kiss from Laurent Blanc.
Do you know he's the joint record holder for the most clean sheets at World Cup tournament matches?
Who with?
Have a guess.
Jens. No, Oliver Kahn.
Peter Shilton.
Buffon.
Yeah.
Peter Shilton, is it? Okay.
Peter Shilton.
Schultz.
Yep. That was a lovely surprise when I saw that.
Yeah, very nice. Good fact.
Yeah, well done, England, again. I love the fact that after football, Barthez became a motor racing champion.
Yes. Yes.
A winner.
Motor racing
Great.
Egg. Imagine that little egg going around in a car.
Speedy egg.
Yeah.
He won France's GT Motorsport Series in 2013.
Quick egg.
Started motor racing in 2008, a year after finishing football.
I like that he's got a plan. Right,
straight
I'm done
in there.
Now. I'm done now. Because he came, I know we'll probably come on to it, but he retired, and then he came back for a French club that needed a keeper. Who was it?
Oh,
it
that's
was,
right.
Yeah. Nantes. He came back for Nantes.
Yeah, he never really.
No, he didn't like it.
His career sort of faded out, actually.
It did. Yeah.
Which is a bit
did.
Of a shame considering the highs he achieved.
Yeah.
He was a brilliant. At the height of his. At the heart of his powers, he was
Mate.
One of the best keepers.
Oh, he was unreal. And actually, there was a real microcosm of that. And I think perhaps that transition happened at Man United because this whole Barthez the clown thing seemed to follow him around. And he had a little bit of that from being quite flamboyant with France, and which was where we would have known him from at the time. But when he started for them, he was absolutely magnificent. He was brilliant. He hit the ground running. It was like, oh, brilliant. We've just replaced Schmeichel here. This is great. But then it was almost like he got bored, wasn't it?
Mm.
And he started acting up and doing silly things and making daft decisions.
So Alex Ferguson says that at one point he had a child, his wife gave birth, and I think his family was still in France. So he spent a lot of time travelling back and forward.
Right.
Ferguson talks about it in one of his books and says, for him, it was just a concentration issue. Mm. He had issues. Ferguson had doubts about every keeper between Schmeichel and Van der Sar for different reasons. And Barthez's concentration was really one for him, particularly around that time.
Mm.
But the other thing about him, and I agree, he looked spectacular. And the reason he looked spectacular, obviously, because he was quite short. And you see that as a thread with goalkeepers,
right,
because they have to be so agile. Mm. They just look more impressive. You know, there's a reason that people remember, like, George Campos and all that kind of, I know his outfits, but he was small, right? So he just jump around everywhere. I mean, and Barthez is only 5'11", which is pretty short for a keeper. But he would make some saves. Mm. Fucking hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
You look at a YouTube compilation of the best Barthez saves.
Mad.
It is unreal. Then, and he's so fast as well. There's a couple when he's still playing back in France, might be when he's at Marseille. Ball comes over, makes a save, pushes it out into the outside of the penalty area. But he does something you don't see keepers do very often, where what they would normally do is they would set themselves, get back in position. He follows the ball out and saves it about 15 yards out. Rather than, because he just backs himself so much. It's incredible to watch.
There's a particularly good save in one of those compilations where he makes a diving save with his foot. It's almost like a volleyed save. And he takes it pretty much off the foot of a striker as well. It's like he could have broken his leg had that gone
like a prototype
badly.
De Gea kind of thing.
Save
with his feet.
But at a full stretch sideways dive with his feet. Like, it was like a monkey at times. But it has to be said, he was one for exaggerating a save as well.
Oh, yeah.
Like every save.
Yeah.
And that was to his credit because it made him so entertaining.
I love that.
He almost was like a South American goalkeeper, really.
Mm. I know what you mean.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. When
flirted with long trousers, David flirt with...
I think he might have done.
I can remember him once or twice. He was... usually in shorts, but there was the odd occasion. But that kind of flamboyant, over-the-top, over-exuberant South American-style goalkeeper that we love, who are prone to errors as well, he had a bit of that, but there was a few years when he was at the top of his game when he wasn't making those errors where he was sensational. So he had the agility and, as we say, the excitement and the sheer box office quality of a top South American keeper, with the kind of more functionality and the sort of steely kind of determination, or whatever you want to call it, of a European keeper.
Yeah,
and
he
brought those two styles together, which makes him, I think, one of the most interesting and watchable goalkeepers, I think, of our generation.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think he was also almost like a proactive goalkeeper, whereas you think of it as being a reactive role. And I suppose it's more proactive now because they're required to start attacks with the ball at their feet and all that kind of stuff.
Well, he was playing the ball out with his feet long
Absolutely.
Before
he
that
was
in.
He was very good with his feet.
He was
proactive to the point where you could probably, if he played in goal for your team, it'd probably make you nervous.
Yeah, well, I mean, it wasn't just doing the sort of Edison Neuer thing, was it? It was step overs and nutmegs and sort of showing off and trying to get in people's heads. Because that was something he was good at, trying to get in people's heads. But it backfired for him. Do you remember the Di Canio incident?
Yep. He peels for offside rather than try and save it. Yeah.
Well, it was a real attempt to get into Canio's head, if anyone doesn't remember it. So Canio's through on goal. Barthez just stops, puts his hand up, basically pretends the referee's blown. Di Canio puts it away because he's a wily operator to understate it.
He sort of tries
somewhat.
To save it late on.
Yeah.
He's not nowhere near quick enough.
But it's his fault that was a goal, effectively.
He came to United at like a very interesting time for United, because obviously Schmeichel announced that he was going to retire at the end of the... he retired after the Champions League win, didn't he?
That's right. He left Manchester United.
That's right, left United, yeah. And so, according to Ferguson, he tried to go out and get Van der Sar a lot earlier. But what had happened was there was a miscommunication with Ferguson and the chief executive at United at the time, who had done a deal and shaken hands with Mark Bosnich. And I think it was David Gill. And at the time, David Gill said to Ferguson, look, you can't have Van der Sar because I've shaken hands with Mark Bosnich and I'm not going back on that because my word is my bond and I don't work in that way, so we just have to take Bosnich. And Ferguson
and I've absorbed some of the things in his hands.
Yeah, I think that came later.
I'm up for this deal.
and then Ferguson said what he should have done is just bought Van der Sar as well, because he had doubts about Bosnich's professionalism, all that kind of stuff. And there's a brilliant quote in this Ferguson book where he says about Bosnich, he's talented, brilliantly talented, but he would just absolutely take the piss with his professionalism.
Mm.
And at one point, Ferguson says something like, he would eat anything and everything. He was an absolute disgrace.
Is it fair to say that a lot of problems that Alex Ferguson has with a lot of players of that generation is that he didn't have all of the man? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
they
definitely
had outside interests like eating and family.
Well, no. But to the point of, I think one of the reasons why he didn't like Tim Howard, or he was put off Tim Howard, you could say that Tim Howard wasn't like absolute top notch because you Schmeichel, Barthez, Van der Sar, you're talking, was the fact that Tim Howard, who's a Christian, said God is more important to me than football, and apparently Ferguson didn't like that.
Well, it's
to the nth degree with old Ferguson.
He likes football perverts, doesn't he?
He does.
He likes people whose whole lives are football.
Yeah,
who are just
Gary Neville. He wants Gary Neville over and over.
Well, but obviously with Beckham and all that sort of
but he didn't like any of it. But I would differ slightly to what you guys are saying, just to add that I think he just wants to be convinced that football is the most important thing to them. Because I think he thinks that later on in life you can have all these... It's very similar to what Roy Keane said about Jesse Lingard, which I don't necessarily agree with, by the way. I'm just saying it's that kind of thinking.
I do sort of understand to an extent what Ferguson said.
But don't forget, he went through a load of different options before he actually settled on Van der Sar, because they had Taibbi as well, didn't they, for a bit?
Yeah, for a very short one.
With Barthez, though, it really... I mean, obviously, with what we've just discussed, that clearly wasn't the case, but it looked like he was buying a character, wasn't it? It was like we've had this huge presence in goal, this almost cartoonishly good and vividly interesting character in Schmeichel, and people like it, let's make more of it, effectively. Yeah, let's get another one in.
A big personality in goal, absolutely right. Let's talk about Barthez a little bit more after this.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Scrambled eggs all over my face.
Welcome back, everybody. The 12 Eggs of Easter, sponsored by Bet365. He won the Champions League with Marseille.
Yes.
Fabien Barthez. Yep. I'd like to point out that Marseille did get done for match fixing in Ligue 1 around that time. I would like to carry on talking about that, but sadly, but there we are. They did, their name is still in the Champions League winners list. Rightly.
You can't game that competition. If you can game your league, you can't really game European competition in many ways.
Scratch the surface of that,
right,
Peter.
Marcus.
Have a look into it, mate. Have a look into it.
But 87 caps for France. Yes. 87 caps, won the World Cup, of course. Played in that France and Nigeria World Cup side with the incredible defence that just conceded two goals in the entire tournament.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's mad.
That is so good, isn't it?
Have you picked up on the fact that he was a committed smoker?
Yeah, he was.
Apparently, Ferguson said there was only three players he'd ever managed who smoked. Mm. And Barthez was one. Could you name the other two?
Veron.
Incorrect.
Paul Ince.
Berbatov.
Paul Ince did smoke.
This is up to and including 2001.
Oh, Berbatov, yeah.
According to Ferguson. No, but that's up to and including 2001 when Barthez was there, obviously.
2001, Rooney.
Cantona?
No, Jesper Olsen, apparently.
I wasn't going to guess that.
Other goalkeeper, Les Seeley.
Yeah,
another quote, Re Barthez and Bosnich. Barthez has the same passion for winning as Peter Schmeichel. He is everything Mark Bosnich was not last year, who hasn't integrated into the values of United.
Hates
Mark Bosnich, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Was that because it sounded like he was foisted upon him a little bit?
Maybe. Yeah, he must probably, yeah.
I mean, yeah.
It's his way or the highway, I guess.
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah. Sadly for Barthes, though, in England, one of the things he'll be remembered for is making those two errors at Highbury against Arsenal.
Yeah.
When Thierry Henry said, thank you very much.
Fellow egg on the list.
Yeah, yeah indeed,
one of the last eggs you want to be making a mistake around
fellow
as well
French
at the time.
Egg.
Yeah. Fellow earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could have had Frank LeBeuf in there, of course.
Yeah. Frank the Beef.
Yeah.
It's funny that earth and birth are the same, similar.
It's very strange.
Funny how these
foreign language.
At the time, Arsenal and Manchester United obviously had a massive rival. I think it was 1-1 during the game.
Same, we don't know.
And
yeah. But you kind of do now.
Yeah, yeah, sort of.
In a very different
way. Not for
way.
The title, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Trying to get that fourth spot.
No, we won't take him back.
Yeah. But that moment where.
I can't remember that.
He cleared the ball. And he just smashed it straight to Henri, who was probably, I don't know, 25 yards out.
Right.
And Henri just took a touch and then just slotted past him. And then Barthez then goes to grab the ball where it's about an 80-20 in Barthez's favour against Henri. He tries to grab the ball. It slips under his body through his arms. And Henri just strokes it.
Henri'd gotten his egg.
Yeah, he had. Scrambled his egg.
Yeah, so and that's the thing. That was such a high-profile mistake. In fact, two mistakes in such a huge game.
Yeah. A club like United, that can make it
I think it's sort of sullied his reputation here.
Absolutely,
really.
It really does, doesn't it? Because, as you say, two, like, that becomes the story of that goalkeeper's season, really. You know, De Gea making mistakes. We're having it this season. They just stand out. They're very, very memorable.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely that. Barthez was a funny one as well because, you know, obviously we've spoken about how good he was with his feet, but he when he was sort of coming to that later period of his career when he was getting frustrated with being called Barthez the Clown and you know perhaps not being at the peak of his powers, he did say he had a bit of a strop once and said I should have been an outfield player because if you make a mistake as a goalkeeper then you're punished for it forever. And it's interesting that he had that mentality where you know he wouldn't even question the idea that he would have made it as an outfield player. Mm. Yeah. And that speaks volumes.
Supremely confident. And based on what we were saying just before the break, would you say that he was maybe quite a prototype for this sweeper keeper kind of thing now? Because we think of like Lloris and Neuer being the next generation who are sweeper keepers who helped sort of mould what goalkeepers are now. But Barthez was a part of that, right?
He
wanted to be involved.
In European terms. In European terms, because they say in South America they were doing that. I mean, René Higuita, well, he was more of a... And he was playing as a flipping number 10 half the time when he was in goal, you know. I mean, but he, you know, he was very much sweeper keeper to the nth degree. So we had seen it in a few forms, but I think for European football fans, maybe Barthez was one of the earlier ones. For my money, I could be wrong there, but perhaps was one of the earlier ones to do that. So yes, I'm sure that had an influence. He did take the piss a bit too much. I mean, as Jim said, you know, there were plenty of examples of him doing step-overs and all this kind of stuff.
He loved a penalty save as well, by the way.
I was just about to mention that. And I mean, save one from Beckham, of course, in 2004, Euro 2004.
Save one from Dimitri Albertini in the quarterfinal of World Cup 98 as
He
well.
Did indeed.
He would keep that egg basket safe.
He certainly would.
But he also loved a bit of gamesmanship. You mentioned against West Ham and Decano, it didn't work. But it did work quite brilliantly. Muzzy is it? Took a penalty for Leicester.
Not a player's name I thought I'd hear.
No. Uh-huh.
He's definitely... I didn't think he would come anywhere Leicester near this favorite. Series.
Well, you see, and Muzzy took a penalty for Leicester at Old Trafford. And Muzzy is waiting to take the penalty, but the referee hasn't blown the whistle yet. And Barthez goes and stands and with his back leaning almost against the post. And I think he might start kicking his boots against the post like to shake the mud off or whatever. He's taking a long time. Leaving Izzet stood there, just staring at the goal. And he waits a while. And Muzzy Izzet actually gets fed up and just puts the ball in the back of the net. And of course, the crowd were all, hang on, whoa, what's all this? And the referee goes, come on, call it back.
Yeah.
Barthez goes in the goal. And Muzzy Izzet takes a penalty again, puts it in the same spot, and Barthez saves.
I think he did a similar thing to Steve Melfrant.
He did at Fulham.
Yeah.
But the difference with that is he went over to the side of the post. The referee booked him for time wasting, and of course, all the Fulham fans, and all this kind of stuff. And then he saved a penalty.
Amazing.
If you're going to do all that, you've got to save it.
That have been when Izzet was at Birmingham?
No, for Leicester, I think.
Was it at Leicester?
Yeah. Okay. Well, or if it was at Birmingham, forgive me.
Do you remember, he had a brother called Kamal, is it? And he was always linked with that. Well, I don't know why you guys remember, but he was linked with Hartlepool quite a lot.
I think Kemal Izzet might have played.
He was at Charlton.
I might have seen him play against Portsmouth. Did he play for Colchester?
He was very loyal.
He played for Colchester for a bit as well. Yeah. I saw.
Lovely,
this is a digression, but I saw him actually do pretty well against Pompey at Fratton Park in a League Cup game back in. back in the day, and I was bloody annoyed.
League Cup games at Fratton Park. I didn't think that would get a mention on this.
Well, we've got a rich history in the cup competitions, Mark, as you well know. You've seen earlier this season.
Yeah, rich being the operative word. Lauren Blanc, of course, joined Manchester United a bit later, so the head-kissing ritual returned.
Did he actually do it again? You know,
just for Champions League games, though, apparently.
Okay.
I love that.
Yeah. It's great to see them back again. So it was. But yes, the last few years of Manchester United, as we touched upon, received quite a bit of criticism. And then he went back to Marseille and he sort of really sort of petered out. He got a massive ban for spitting at a referee during a friendly match against a Moroccan side, which is not nice to see.
Well, fried egg spit.
They do, and it's always
consistent.
And it's never what you want, Jim, is it?
No.
Did he not let in a quite soft one against Real Madrid in the Champions League?
Yes, that may have been his last game.
Yes, I think it was, and I think Roy Carroll came in. I think he dropped him, Ferguson, and he never played for them again after that. Was it the near post? Remember the incident?
Yes, Ronaldo?
Yeah, it was Ronaldo. And I don't think he played for them again.
Yeah, I think you might be
Ferguson
right
there. I think Ferguson got pissed off about it.
Yeah, if you're Barters, I mean, Roy Carroll showed a bit of early promise, but I mean, you're a World Cup winner and all. If you're dropped for Roy Carroll,
making the point, isn't it?
You would be a bit pissed off.
Well, I think that was perhaps Barthes' downfall, was that he always wanted to be the centre of attention in 100%. A lot of ways, didn't he?
100%.
And like that kind of tallies up with what you said about wanting to be an outfield player.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if there was no focus on him, he would bring focus
on
him.
And the key thing, and I know he's achieved a lot in his career, and you know, bloody hell, he's probably one of the most decorated keepers ever, I expect. I mean, there's not that many keepers out there who've won the Champions League and the World Cup, right?
Yeah. So, well, and the Euros.
And the Euros. He'd be up there. But the key thing at the very top level for goalkeepers, as we hear time and time again, is this concentration thing, is that, you know, you have to understand that large parts of games, you're not going to be doing anything. And if your mind's all over the place because you feel, how can I get involved in this? It's going to come back to haunt you, you know? Like they say about pilots, there are old pilots and there are bold pilots, but there are no old bold pilots. So it's like there are old keepers and there are bold keepers, but there are no old bold keepers.
Yeah, that's
it's
right.
The same sort of thing, right?
You know?
And he was definitely a part of that kind of aesthetic.
And now he's in motor racing, where he can be old and bold.
Yeah. Are there any old bold racing drivers? Probably not, though. Probably not.
Yeah, no. Exactly. Yeah.
What was his success like as a racing driver?
Well, good.
He came 12th, I think, in his class 2 years ago, as I was reading upon.
I said at the start of the show, he won France's GP Motor Series in 2013.
He's in Le Mans now.
Le Mans.
I love
He's
that.
He's got his own racing team that he obviously bankrolled.
I love it when footballers do other sports.
Yeah.
But I think Sylvain Viltord was like a handy tennis player and sort of played to a really decent level after he retired.
Diego Forlán, of course. Diego Forlán was going to be a professional tennis player, but he's got a seriously ill sister,
I think. That's right.
And so he thought that being a footballer would be more lucrative for him.
Yeah.
So he changed to football so he could make more money.
And he was right.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy to have the choice.
We'll never know. Maybe he would have been...
And Harry Kane's talking about becoming an NFL kicker, as we talked about. That's and right. Michael Owen could have been a golfer or snooker player, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
So it does happen.
Or an anesthetic.
Yeah, well, I mean, snooker and golf would be much more suiting of his personality.
Pete Donaldson's talking about becoming a Greco-Roman wrestler.
Yes.
Yeah.
What, lightweight or welterweight, something like that, probably?
Yeah, something lithe.
Suitably waspish.
I just like the oils.
Mm. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Just lithe should be the category. you don't Flighty. Think about it more than that. Yeah. Like.
I could see you in one of those leotards with the straps that go all the way down to there. Like, yeah, that'd be brilliant.
And poppers on it.
Nothing could constrain my nipples.
No, absolutely right.
And when I first met you, Pete, you were an egg.
He wasn't
Yeah, you were an egg, actually.
It's me and you, Luke.
I've been an egg,
egg during our 20s.
I was an egg at university for a bit.
People assumed I couldn't grow hair, and then they were proved right.
No, you can.
I mean, like,
in some
is his hair?
In some places.
Yeah,
there we go.
It's a state.
But is Pete going to be one of our eggs?
Well, you have to tune in tomorrow
to find out
who our 11th egg will be. But for now, thanks for listening to episode 10 of the 12 Eggs of Easter, sponsored by Bet365. We'll see you tomorrow for the penultimate one.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out for a chance to win the French Open title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV, live in HD. Don't miss a moment with daily live coverage and match replays on demand, beginning Monday, May 20th. Be there for all the unforgettable moments. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.